Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
And the depth of the transformation in this early Christians were really evident in their willingness to surrender their money and possessions to meet each other's needs. It was no more natural for these Christians to cheerfully liquidate and disperse assets than would be for us today. It is no different.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
Robert Gilmore was born at the turn of the century, just before the turn of the century in Vermont. He ended up family moving in a variety of places. At the age of 14, he left school, dropped out of school. He was actually a very ingenious little boy, but didn't have much education. Kind of worked his way through a variety of jobs. World War started, and he was disqualified because of a neck injury from a car accident, so he couldn't go in. So he worked in a maintenance area for quite a while as an assistant, and then he ended up moving out to Stockton, California, worked as a mechanic in a garage for a while, and eventually ended up taking on part ownership in that garage at the age of 27, and then worked his way through, got married, had a few children. At the age of 40, he ended up gathering all of this information that he had had, skills he had, and started developing earth-moving equipment. And at the time, he was very revolutionary in that whole industry. He took and invented and developed the electric wheel. He had taken the rubber tire, which was new to the cars in that time period, and then eventually moved it into using in this big earth-moving equipment. And so that was parallel in his business life. He became very, very successful. And parallel to that, along with this, spiritually, he had grown up in a home that his parents were very godly. And at the same time that he ended up dropping out of school and stopped going to school, he also was moving away from the gospel that his parents gave to him. But then at 16, that two-year period, he was kind of wavering around. And at 16, he realized the gospel is true. I'm going to give him my life, which is what happened. So as the business began to grow and he moved in his life spiritually, at the age of 30, he decided, I'm going to give my business to God. And then he realized that there were some giving, living principles that needed to apply to his business as a businessman. And so he decided that I'm going to give 10% of my profit to the Lord. So that's what he did. And his business kept growing. And then he said, I'm going to give 20%. And he gave 30%. I'm going to give 40%. And that's about the time in which his company, R.G. Letourneau, Inc., became very, very popular. It became the number one business in the world for large, heavy equipment and earth-moving equipment. He began getting contracts from the government to do Hoover Dam and multiple other activities. He decided, I'm going to give more. He realized, I cannot outgive God. He started giving 60%, 70%, 80% of his profit to the Lord. And he found that the more he ended up giving to God, God just kept blessing him. Eventually, he ended up turning over the business to part of his family and invested into education. He bought property and built buildings and had a board established. And as the university was established, they said, we want a nameless Letourneau College after you. It's interesting that here you are years later. The Letourneau College, it's a college that's well known for its technology and its advancement in education. It was a man that had not much education, but finally got to the place in his own life that he said, God, I just cannot outgive what you're giving to me. and applied basic giving living principles to his life, to where he was giving 90% of his wealth to the Lord's work. Because he realized that he had responsibilities that God had blessed him with, that he could end up in turn using that to help others, or in essence give gifts or giving grace to other people. And it's a powerful testimony in which it starts with what we were just hearing of us giving our life to God. Now the question is, what are those giving living principles? What is that unknown grace that we don't hear much about? I'm thankful that at 20, when I gave my life to Christ, I was involved with the revival ministry that taught this and became very helpful. And I want to give you four. There are more than this out of 2 Corinthians 8. And if you have your Bible, these really are stewardship truths. We've talked about us being a steward. But I want to just walk through this in short order, because this area of money, and we're really kind of pulling together this whole topic of our lives and missions outreach and giving of ourselves. And you have to understand that the Lord makes the poor and he makes the rich. As it says in 1 Samuel 2:7, the Bible does not teach that being wealthy is a sin. Some of the great men of the Old Testament, as Abraham and Job and Solomon, were extremely wealthy, but Paul also knew how to abound and how to be abased. And the scripture says much about this whole topic of money. Out of the 33 parables in the Gospels, 16 of them have to do with how we handle money. Christ said more about money and how to handle it than he did heaven and hell combined. And in the Bible, there are 500 references to prayer, 500 references to faith, and over 2,000 references to money and possessions. And the fact is that in our economy today, it's not much different than it was in the life in which Paul wrote 2 Corinthians chapter 8. See, here's the difficulty. Statistically, it is proven in our world's economy right now that, as one author noted, Randy Alcorn, if you have sufficient food, decent clothes, you live in a home that shields you from the weather, you own some kind of reliable transportation, you're in the top 15, the top 15% of the world and the world's wealthy. If you add some kind of savings, you add a couple of cars in any kind of condition, a variety of clothes that you can wear, if you happen to own your own house, you've just reached the top 5% of the world in wealth, which would probably include most of us here in the top 15%. You see, the fact is, you may not feel wealthy, and that's only because you're comparing yourself to the mega wealthy. We hear about the mega wealthy. Forbes came out with the top 900 some odd billionaires. And we all get a little bit awed by what that involves. And so when we say all this, I want you to understand, when we look at 2 Corinthians 8, I want to simply give to you these four giving living principles. And the depth of the transformation in this early Christians were really evident in their willingness to surrender their money and possessions to meet each other's needs. It was no more natural for these Christians to cheerfully liquidate and disperse assets they had spent their lives accumulating that would be for us today. It is no different. So when Paul's writing that, this was the whole point, that conversion and the filling of the Spirit are supernatural experiences that produce supernatural responses. And whether it was the first century or the 21st century, these applications still apply. Now, again, there are more than what I'm going to give to you, but I want to narrow these to these four. And the reason I'm going through this is because for each one of us, we find ourselves in a place to understand that we are one church among many churches that support missions worldwide, because we believe that he is able to be the Redeemer. And as the redeemed, we get to support that. And that's why it's so important to understand premise number one, that as God's personal manager, I need to transfer the ownership of everything I have to God. We won't walk through these passages, but this is what everything is built off of, because as we end up understanding that we are God's personal managers, we started with that at the beginning of this year, and then I've got to transfer all this to say, God, this is all yours. Now, I am a manager of that. You own it, so I'm responsible to take care of that. Anything as simple as a small little money I might have to a lot of money I might have, from the small amount of clothes to a lot of clothes, from a car and transportation to as small as a little bike. I'm responsible. So therefore, on that basis, these are the four truths. I'm going to walk through them very simply with you, because it is not about money. It is about obedience. What is it that God spoke to you about in your point of giving to our missions, to God Himself? Because you will always find through Scripture three levels of giving. One is just out of obedience, obedient giving. God, you've given to me. And that's why you find out of the Old Testament what was called the tithe, that was embraced as well as the support of the structure of the children of Israel, the nation of Israel. Today, we would know that as our own giving living. There's no amount of portion that God says you have to give, but there's a start of being proportionate. And that's why the tithe, 10%, is just a simple measure of giving. I like what one person said very simply, that 9/10 with God goes way longer than 10/10 without God. It is not that He's trying to manipulate you to get your money. This is never God's attitude. He owns it all anyway. He gives you the privilege to give grace to others. You say, well, I thought grace is something that is given by God. It is. As God has given you the grace of salvation, that grace is expressed out to others by the idea of giving. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let me walk through these with you, because the first level is obedience. The second level is the area of faith. And I encourage you to jot these down. It'll help you to be a reminder. Obedience, very simply, that giving is your giving of regular tithes, your offerings, your normal giving. It's systematic. Number two is the faith giving. That's giving what God clearly prompts you to give, but you not realize, and I can't see how this is going to happen. But that's the measure of faith giving. And then there's sacrificial giving. That is giving out of my need to help others. This is what you deal with in 2 Corinthians 8. Let me read this verse here, and I'll just kind of walk through these verses very rapidly, walk through these points. Number one, notice the point is, before I give any material possessions to God, He must first want me to give myself. Notice what He says in chapter 8, verse 1. He says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God. In other words, we're making known to you the grace, the charis, the gift of God. He's not talking now, dealing with the area of salvation, is the area of giving. He uses the same term in verse 6, that same grace also, the end of verse 7, in this same grace also, verse 9, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that very grace that God gave to us in salvation, I'm expressing that now by giving that unknown grace, because so often it's not known. People are not experiencing that freedom to be able to give to somebody else. I can express that grace by giving. Now notice how it's done. I mentioned the first one, before I give any material possessions to God, He must first want me to give myself.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.